So today, my message will be on love and compassion. And I'm just going to go through my introduction, and then I'm going to call my brother there to do the reading for us in his language. But this is part three now of the Wisdom for Families from Proverbs. And what theme that's been happening in the messages, and I've also been, you know, been noticing it now, you know, it's like three messages in and I'm noticing my own message, that love, hate, wisdom, and all that I've been preaching on demands action. These are action things, and their fruits needed to be seen, you know, to be felt. They're not just something that we say in our testimonies. It's something that we see, actually. And what I'm saying that is that we can stand in front of people and give our testimonies. But if the same audience, you know, knows you and see that our words don't match our action, then our testimony is broken, right? You know, just like in our own families, if we tell our kids, so for those who have children, you know what I'm talking about. And for those who don't have children yet, take note. If you're in a family and you tell your kids to do one thing, don't do the other way. Don't go the other way. Otherwise, they'll get confused and they won't obey you. And then you go ask someone, hey, why are my kids not obeying me? Ah, probably because you're saying something and doing something else at the same time. So our testimony, we testify of what God has done and is doing in our lives. This gives hope to everyone who hears. That's the purpose of it. You know, Tony's testimony 2 weeks ago was really powerful, not just because it was amazing, you know, like the amazing things that he told us, but because some of us, if not all of us, witness, you know, that journey. And we see Tony as the strong and faithful man, only to be brought down at death's door, questioning God, you know, but never losing faith. That's the, you know, we can hear that all day long, but since we know Tony, we've seen it through action, we know his testimony is great. And because of his faith in God, he found ways to act on it. You know, he's developed friendships that that a lot of us wouldn't think it's possible. So if you missed that, you know, 2 weeks ago, just look it up on our church website, and it is under Pastor Dad's message on pain. So, yeah, it's a good testimony, so I encourage you, if you missed it or if you just want to hear it again, it's on our website. So now, let us continue with the actual message. Now, can I just ask my brother Joel to read our supporting reading from Matthew 18? Yeah, come here, brother. And he'll read it in his own language.
There we go, bro. The word of God in our dialect is ang pulong sa Diyos sa Mateo versikulo 18 kapitulo 23:35. Bisaya. Bisaya. Bisaya.
Oh, that's the national language in the Philippines. That's his language in the Bisaya.
And Cebuano, Bisaya. Yeah. So, Mateo 18:23-35. Kay ang paghari sa Diyos sama sa usa ka hari nga naghusay sa mga utang sa iyang mga sulugoon. 24. Samtang naghusay siya sa ilang mga utang, gidala kaniya ang sulugoon nga nakautang kaniya og minilyon. Tungod kay dili siya makabayad, nagsugo ang hari nga ibaligya siya isip ulipon, lakip ang iyang asawa og ang iyang mga anak, og ibaligya usab ang tanan niyang kabtangan aron mabayran niya ang iyang utang. Ang sulugoon miluhod atubangan sa hari og nagpakiluoy nga miingon, pasinsya lang una ako kay bayran ko kura ikaw sa tanan. Naluoy ang hari kaniya, busa gipasaylo siya og wala na pabayara sa iyang utang og gipapauli siya. Sa pag-uli ni adtong sulugoon, natagbuan ni ang iyang isigka sulugoon nga nakautang kaniya og gamay ra kaayo. Gilabnot niya kini, gituok og giingnan, bayri ako sa imong utang. Milhod ang iyang kauban nga sulugoon og nagpakiluoy kaniya, pasensya lang, una ako kay bayran ko ra ikaw. Apan wala gayod siya musugot, gipapriso hinuon niya kadto nga sulugoon hangtod nga kini makabayad. Pagkakita ni adto sa uban nga mga sulugoon, nasubo kayo sila, busa miadto siya sa ilang hari og gisulti ang nahitabo. Gipatawag sa hari ang sulugoon og ingnan, labihan ka kadautan nga sulugoon, gipasaylo ko ikaw sa imong utang kanako tungod kay pagpakiluoy, nagpakiluoy ka. Ngano bang wala mo kaluyi ang imong isigka sulugoon, ingon nga akong naluoy kanimo. Nasuko gayod ang hari kaniya, gipapriso niya kini aron nga masilutan hangtod mabayran ang tanan niyang utang. Unya miingon si Jesus kanila, mao usab kini ang buhaton kaninyo sa akong amahan nga langit nun kung dili kamo makapasaylo sa inyong isigkataw na kinasingkasing gayod.
Isaya.
Isaya.
Language is a wonderful thing. We are both Filipinos, but I, didn't get any of that. Yeah. And it's so good. So good. So let me read it in English for those of us who did not understand. But it's lovely to hear different languages. So it's Matthew 18, verse 21 to 35. I asked him to read from 23 because that's the story, but to give it a little bit more context, I'll read from 21. So it says there, then Peter came up and said to him, to Jesus, Lord, how many times shall my brother sin against me and I still forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 77 times. For this reason, this verse 23 now. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with slaves. And when he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay, his master commanded that he be sold, along with his wife and his children and all that he had, and repayment be made. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. And the master of that slave felt compassion, and he released him and forgave him the debt. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. Denarii is something that you earn in one day. So it's like 100 days worth. But he himself owed 1,000 talents, which is way beyond a denarii. All right, so basically this guy owes him peanuts compared to what he owed. And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe. So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, have patience with me, I will repay you. But he was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he would pay back what he was owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their master all that had happened. Then summoning him, his master said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that had mercy on you? And his master, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he would repay all that he was owed him. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word that you're giving us today. I pray, Lord, that the wisdom that it contains will be carried along, Lord, not just within the church family, Lord, but everywhere outside of these walls. Encourage each and every person who's hearing this message, Lord. Embolden them to speak the words that they hear. And Lord, give them practical ways, Lord, that they can enact it. And Lord, let your kingdom just rule over this world through your people. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So that is a supporting reading because our the wisdom for families is actually coming from Proverbs. So the Proverbs that we will be looking at is Proverbs 3, verse 3 to 4. It says there, "Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and a good reputation in the sight of God and man." Wisdom there. So here, kindness. I preached kindness before, and just like love, hate, and wisdom, kindness is actually practical. It's not just nice words, right? So when we usually say, oh, be kind to one another, it's usually don't say nasty things, right? But actually, biblically, being kind means to be useful to someone. So in words, it's not just saying something that's, not bad or not negative. It has to encourage. It has to inspire those that we're talking to. For example, if you're at work and you have a process of doing things and you have to correct someone, and that's been my job lately, correcting my team. And it is a difficult thing. But if I was to be kind, instead of saying, you dumbass, you did it wrong again, get it right. Is that kind? No, it's not kind. You just go, oh, that's an interesting way of doing things. But this is how our process does it. Okay, this is how we do it. And yeah, let me show you how it's done. Encouraging words, teaching them, in correction, especially in correction. I tried it before. I tried to be the manager. And I had my, while I was not even in the correction phase of my speech, and they walked out on me. Yeah, I'm like, you walked out on me. That's on you, not on me. But, praying about it, I thought, okay, I think I'm in the wrong here. So I took some time to talk to him, with kindness, of course. In action, I've told this before, when you help someone, make sure you're progressing. You help them progress with the task, right? Task at hand. And try not to make things worse. That's what being kind is, being helpful. Ideally, if you have the right skill to help, that is, that's being useful, right? And if you don't have the skill, if you don't know what you're doing, then the best way to help someone is to point them to the right direction. Yeah. For example, if we were at work, we had issues with our van's navigation system. I can rip it out and play around with the wirings and all that, but that's not going to help anyone, right? Because I don't know what I'm doing. But the thing is, one day, one of the vans came, and it had a massive dent in the bumper. And the old manager looked at it and go, oh man, we have to send this to the garage, it's gonna cost money. And the other guy's like, oh, well, company's paying for it anyway. And I'm like, no, that's not how you look at it. So I told them, look, I know how to fix this. Just give me a hair dryer or a heat gun and I'll fix it. And they laughed at me. They said, no, you can't fix a bumper that's pushed in with a hairdryer, and then I showed them. This wisdom I got from our old worship leader, Koro. If anyone remembers Koro, He showed me how to fix a bumper dent with a hairdryer. And you just, you know, heat it up, boop, it pops out. Nice. But they laughed at me until I did it. So who's laughing now, right? But the thing is, I offered my help, you know, because I know what I'm doing. But in terms of the other guys, the only help they could provide is to point to the right direction. So none of us were wrong, except laughing at me. I think that was wrong. But the solution, we've done it. We solved the issue without costing any more money. And that's the two examples of how you can help someone. You can either point them to the right direction because you don't know what you're doing, or if you know what you're doing, go and help them. So the wisdom of this proverb teaches us to show kindness and truth, you know, externally, right? That's how we show things. Action, it's all external. But here, it's asking us to internalize these things. Jesus said in Matthew 15, verse 17 to 19, it says there, "Do you not understand that everything that goes into your mouth passes through the stomach and is eliminated?" He's actually, in context, talking about, you know, talking to the Pharisees because they were saying, "Your guys don't wash, don't follow tradition. You don't wash the same way as we do traditionally." So Jesus tells him this, "But the things that come out of your mouth come from the heart, and those things defile the person." Not because you didn't wash a certain way with a certain soap or whatever, you know. "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, acts of adultery, other immoral sexual acts, thefts, false testimonies, and slanderous statements." Right? Evil things come from the heart. Oh, come from the heart and out of the mouth. So he was explaining that in terms of food, right? That someone who, just because they don't follow tradition, gets defiled. That's how they see it back then. You know, you don't wash your hands. I'm sure they wash their hands because they eat with their hands. So I'm sure they wash their hands before eating. But for some reason, they were defiled because they didn't do according to tradition. But the point here, right, one, we can eat whatever we want, right? Filipinos, dinuguan is good, yeah? Because it's, you know, blood, you know, we're not supposed to eat blood. But Jesus says it's not what comes in the person through the mouth that defiles us. It's what comes out that defiles us. The point is that what comes from the heart is what makes or breaks our testimony. So wickedness comes from the heart. However, I also believe that if kindness and truth were deeply ingrained in our hearts, then those are the things that will come out of our mouths, right? So it's basically what fills the heart, the mouth overflows through the mouth. So tie it around your neck, it says, write it in your hearts. It's internalizing the external. You know, that's why the Pharisees, I believe it's still happening to this day, they have tassels, you know, those frilly bits in their robes, and they call it the phylacteries, or the little black boxes that are tied to their forehead and to their arm. Those, you know, it's an outward reminder of the law, so it helps them internalize following the law, right? That's what it's all about. So if you see one of those guys with the robe, blue and white robe, and the black things that coil around their arms, it's to remind them, or to remind anyone who's seeing it, that there is a law and it must be obeyed. It's the same as wedding rings. You know, an outward reminder that we are in a covenant relationship with someone. Right? Wedding rings. I don't have mine. it's outward, but I've internalized mine. That's why. It's in my heart now. Yeah, the wedding ring, yeah. And, well, I don't need my wedding ring to show people, like, hey, I'm married. Because with my current position at work, I meet up with a lot of people, office people, and one thing I noticed, a lot of office people are women. And they will know that I am in a covenant relationship with my wife, because that's the only thing that comes out of my mouth. You know, it's either work-related or my family. They would ask, oh, yeah, are you married? Oh, yes, I have 5 children also. And they go, what? 5 children, yeah, 5 children. So, yeah, either you ask me about work or I'll talk about my family, because my wedding ring is internalized. Yeah. Whew, great save. All right. Let's get back into it before I lose myself. Okay, before I go back to Jesus' teaching, I would like to mention that yesterday we were practicing, and we were fixing the sound desk because it had some issues. And I encountered this book, and it was just right on time. I think God is just speaking to me that forgiveness is a great part of love and compassion. And have you seen this floating around? This is a really great book. And you see the name over there? Harriet Omondiagbe. She wrote it. Our sister Harriet wrote this book. And I found out at the back that she's written a lot of children's books. She's a doctor as well. Okay. But just letting you know, this is a great book of, I'll spoil it for you because it's good. It's so good. It's about a boy who every time someone offends him or someone does something that hurts him, he goes up to his room and he has a whiteboard. And it's got the names of, you know, mom, dad, and his sister. And he puts a line, a tally. Every time they do something that hurts him, he tallies them. And the mother saw the whiteboard, and she asked, you know, why are you tallying this? Why are you doing the chart? And he said, oh, because it reminds me of every time people hurt me. Yeah, but the mother told him that, won't that just hurt you every time you look at it? Like the hurt just keeps there. And so the next day, they prayed about it, which is, you know, I thought, oh, that's good. However, I'm only halfway through the book. So the next page, he was playing with his cousin, and they're playing with their cars, and his cousin broke his favorite car toy. So he runs back to his room and adds a new name in the whiteboard, Tim, you know, one. And his dad was there looking at him, go, yeah, about that board, you know. And the thing is, he explains again why he makes it. He says, so I can remember who hurt me, you know. And in the end, he talks about forgiveness. The dad talks about forgiveness, and they prayed about it. And the sister comes in his room apologizing and gives him a gift. You know, it's nothing like a bribery or anything. It's just a drawing of them playing. And he goes to his whiteboard and starts removing some of the lines, some of the tally that his sister, under his sister's name. And she said, oh, what are you doing? He goes, oh, I'm just removing all of this because I forgive you, you know. And at the end of, you know, before he goes to bed, he's lying there looking at the whiteboard, and there's no names and no tallies to count because he's forgiven them all. And it explains here how he felt. And, yeah, and I thought, man, that's a very cool short book to read to children, you know, even adults, especially as adults who tend to kind of keep our offenses hidden. So yeah, so promoting this book shamelessly, and I spoke to Harriet, and she said you can actually get a digital copy of this for free online. But if you go and look for the Amazon doesn't like to give things for free, so it might cost a little bit, but it is there for free, and there is a lot of books that she's written, so go through them. I think she's given a copy of to parents last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, and someone forgot it. That's why. Yeah. What about yeah? The husbands will do well. Yeah. But yes. So forgiveness, guys. It is a really good illustration. So I thought I'd just squeeze that in. Now back to Jesus' teaching, right? Verse 23 says, for this reason, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his slaves. So who is the king in this case? God the Father, right? And who are the slaves? We are. Slaves have a negative connotation now, so let's just say workers, or God, followers of Christ. So Jesus takes a simple question from Peter and shows us a glimpse of the heart of the Father. So when the debt cannot be paid, he was moved with compassion. You know, there in verse 27. So this, you know, I skipped a few bits. This is just for bullet points. Verse 27 says, the master of the slave felt compassion, and he released him and forgave him. So he was moved by compassion, and he forgives. Because of compassion, mercy is given. Yeah. And Jesus showed this quality many times in the Bible. And this is what we, you know, as followers of Christ, you know, called Christians, should be imitating. You know, Paul said, imitate me because I imitate Christ. The goal is to be Christ-like. You know, the goal is not to just get into heaven, but the goal is to be like Christ. So in Jesus' illustration, the forgiven slave went to find another slave who owed him and demanded payment. In this case, the forgiven slave was not moved with compassion like the king, and therefore did not give mercy to his fellow slave. And it says there, verse 30, he was unwilling. And it is quite sad, but there are many people who want mercy for themselves but refuse to give it when the opportunity comes. And here, verse 31, it says, so when his fellow slaves saw, they saw this. His fellow slaves saw what had happened. They were deeply grieved and came and reported to their master all that had happened. So, who are these fellow slaves? They are the brethren. They are fellow workers of the same king. They are our church members, you know. They witnessed this. His testimony is now broken. You know, he could go around saying, the king has forgiven me. You know, he can forgive you too, give hope and all that. But because his own brethren saw what's happened, he was punished for it. Now, this brings up the question, why would God allow punishment? You know, we know that kindness and truth are both characteristics of God, right? Yeah, but kindness, yes, the truth hasn't been really explained. The truth is that the first slave was indeed wicked in his heart, right? And God is just saying, this is the truth, you are wicked. So though he was forgiven, he did not forgive. And interestingly enough, Jesus said after he taught his disciples how to pray, you know, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. At the end of that, what does it say? It says, deliver us from evil, for yours is the kingdom, the power forever and ever. Amen. For if you forgive, it follows straight after it. For if you forgive other people for their offenses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive other people, then your Father will not forgive your offenses. That comes straight out of how to pray. It's like, this is how you pray, but this is how you should live. Forgive one another. Live a forgiving life. So if we listen to the wisdom told in this proverb, we internalize the external kindness and truth. So, there's a so there. So, therefore, we will find favor and a good reputation in the sight of God and man. Favor is when things we need are given to us, right? That's favor. Things happened to work for us. That's favor. You know, if someone says, hey, man, I need a favor, you know, that means something needs to be given. Like, I need this, or I need a job. Can you help me get a job? And then you help them. You know, over the years, here is an example of divine favor. Over the years, I've seen things in this church, especially in the church family, that when people stay long enough and commit themselves, you know, I'm not saying this is like a fact, 100% guarantee, but you be the judge. The people who came and gone over the years, especially those who are seeking employment, are not just given a job. You know, they come to Green Bay, they stay here, they believe that God is with them. They don't get a job, but they get the job that they want, the job that fits in their life that God needs them to be in. Now, what would you call that? It's divine favor. Yeah, divine favor. And I've mentioned this a few times, you know, before there was Ezra and me, there was Pastor Duds. You know, I followed him because there was something in the family. And that was, I just realized, that was the divine favor. You know, he's not like super rich or, you know, I buy the lotto and I win. Not that type of favor. But just things are happening in that family. And you know it's good. And he doesn't brag about it or anything like that. that's just between you and God. Yeah. But yeah, it's the divine favor is there. It says there we will find favor and good reputation. So what is good reputation? That's when no one can say anything negative about you, but only good things, right? That's what a good reputation is. Especially if it's coming from within the church. We don't want to be lukewarm, because Jesus said he'll spit it out. You know, we don't want to be that person that no one wants to say anything about, good or bad. That's lukewarm. We want to be of good reputation. And it says there that if we practice or if we have kindness and truth in us, then we will find favor and good reputation. This is the life that God has called us into. You know, a life of genuine love and compassion, which means mercy as well, forgiveness. A life that reflects kindness and truth internally and externally. All right? So let me tell you, you have been forgiven. You know, if you accepted God's free gift of salvation, you have been forgiven. So we live like forgiven people, right? Yeah, so now I'm going to ask the band to come back up. We're going to continue our worship. But before we do, while everyone's just walking in, and before Dad backs me up, you know, I say we are forgiven. I said that we have salvation and all that. But if you are struggling in this idea that you are saved or that your sins have been forgiven, you know, I want to speak to you. The leaders would like to pray for you. Even if you think you are saved, but you kind of have that nagging feeling, do I know 100%? Am I 50% saved? If there is such a thing. If you have any doubt whatsoever of your salvation, you know, we'd like to pray for you. So for now, let's all just stand up. We won't embarrass anyone, single them out. We'll just all be together. And we will pray, and then we will continue on with communion. It's one of the things that we do in communion. We don't just eat the bread and drink the juice. We remember what Christ has done for us. And what is it? He died for our sins. He died so that we are reconnected. We can have a relationship direct with God the Father. That is what it's all about. And it also says in the word that whoever eats and drinks of it unbecomingly, you know, will heap the wrath of God onto him. So before we eat and drink the juice, let's just set our hearts straight, set our minds and eyes to God, and remember what he's done, and just let out, give him all the troubles that you've had this week. Give him all the things that you think cause you to stumble. Just give it back to him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you that you sent us your son, Lord, that he died for us, for the forgiveness of sin, that that we know, Lord, that in the end of days, we will also be united with you in the resurrection. We thank you, Lord, for the fellowship that we have with one another. Lord, strengthen us through one another. Let each and everyone will carry a kind word, the word that will inspire, the word that will lift up one another. And Lord, give us different ways to show kindness to one another, Lord, practically. And just be with us, Father God. We thank you, Lord, and we also ask for your forgiveness of the things that we've said, thought of, done this week. Lord, in all the things that we will be doing in the future. Yes, Lord, we know you love us and you would forgive us, but Lord, we are still sorry for doing it. We accept your forgiveness, Father God, and we thank you that you love us and forgive us. Now, Lord, we just lift up our eyes back to you. Give you all the glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.